Troll Scroll.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Troll Scroll, episode one. Of your Elder Scrolls Online podcast. Boy, Tim, do we have a lot to talk about today, guys and gals? We're thrilled that you're here. We're stoked that you're joining us, and we have quite a big episode in front of us. Will the Elder Scrolls Online be free to play or subbed based at launch? That's sort of the question of the day, question of the year, maybe too. Also, what will be the starting level cap once the game releases? How hard is the soft Trinity? And last, but certainly not least, how will players experience questing in the Elder Scrolls Online? But first, my fellow Michigander, the French guy, Timé Laperriere.
Hey!
You know, there's a couple things wrong with that statement.
Wait, what statement?
I'm just going to say, I mean, technically, you're living in Florida right now, so not fellow, and I'm really not that French.
Well, I mean, I was born in Michigan.
Right, okay. I mean, so it's more like an origin.
Okay, fine, fine.
I'm just...
My fellow American.
There you go.
How's that?
There you go. It's appropriate for, this time of year. Anyways, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm swell. Can't wait to do the show.
Good. I'm looking forward to it personally, but that's just me. Hopefully you're looking forward to it.
Well, I'm glad we're on the same page here.
Hopefully the people listening are looking forward to it.
For sure. Guys, this is episode one, the official first episode of Troll Scroll. Last week we did our sort of introduction. Went along pretty good, I think. I hope you guys have a little bit of a sort of idea of who we are and what we're all about. But basically, we want to be sort of a fun and entertaining source that you guys can come to and listen to about Elder Scrolls Online related content. So Tim, without further ado, Boss Sauce, let's just jump right into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Elder Scrolls Online. It's a lot of, this is a speculatory topic. Tim, do you think it's going to be free to play? Do you think it's going to be sub-based once the game launches? So, we look at the MMO industry right now, and it seems like the majority of the games that are coming out are going the free-to-play model. That was something that was stressed at the Gamers Developer Conference down in Texas this past year. MMO developers were saying, if you want your game to be successful, you have to go free-to-play now. That's the direction the market is going. Do you think that's an accurate statement?
It's definitely where the market's going. I don't entirely agree with the fact that if you want your game to be successful, though, you have to go free to play. I feel if you have a really good MMO that has solid endgame, has solid levels 1 through max level, has solid, story behind it for those who are interested in lore and so on and so forth. When you've got, and solid gameplay overall, I really think a subscription-based model will work. Because you can get those players in the game, if you have a solid end game that keeps players interested, okay, so it's not just, you know, content that players have already experienced, with the exception of a couple raids here and there. You know, it's more so, you know, stuff that actually can be repeated and people enjoy repeating, you know, stuff like, you know, like the little mini games and stuff like that. You know, I think a subscription model can work, because you get those players playing your game, and then they stay playing your game, you know, and then you continue to get people to play your game and so on and so forth. And I think one of those things that's going to keep players playing the game is definitely the RVR. And so, you know, I think ZeniMax has a really solid end game lineup. You know, we don't even really know all that much about their end game. You know, we know that RVR is going to be, I think they've said that RVR is pretty much going to be, you know, that's what your end game PvP is really going to focus around. But I'm sure they'll have, you know, raids and so on and so forth. I really think that they could do well with a subscription-based model. You know, I think a lot of games that have to go free-to-play are games that can't get content out quick enough. And it's probably because they've had, you know, cutbacks in their studio, or, you know, they've had undeveloped content when the game launched, and they're kind of scrambling to get that content in the game, and they haven't had time to develop new content, or, you know, whatever the reason may be. You know, I think a lot of the time games go free to play is just because they just don't have necessarily the resources to continue to get content out there. That's not to say that a free to play model is, you know, the sure sign that a game's failing or anything like that. You know, there's obviously games out there that, you know, are big, that do have a free to play model. But personally, with me, I feel more comfortable with a subscription based model, only because I feel like I'm playing an MMO, and I feel like I'm playing a full version of an MMO, I guess, if that makes sense. Just because when I play free to play MMOs, I feel like there's always that, you know, catch. It's always like, you know, there's always content that you can't experience because you're not paying for the game. You know, you've got games like RuneScape. RuneScape is considered the largest free-to-play MMO in the world. Thing is, though, you can only experience like 5% of the game compared to the other 95%. Okay, there's like 5,000 hours worth of content, I think, in the free-to-play version, but there's like 25 or 30,000 hours worth of content. So, okay, it's 20%. You can experience 20%. Point is, it doesn't really matter. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. You know, you're kind of shorted content in certain free-to-play MMOs, and I just don't want, not saying that ZeniMax would do that, but I just don't like that feeling of, eh, you know, I might have to buy this or whatever. I like going into a game and knowing that I can get anything in the game. I just have to somehow earn it within the game itself. So if I put enough time and effort into it, you know, instead of, you know, putting in $20 or whatever via my debit card, you know, I can get it. So
yeah, you don't want freemium, right? Basically,
you know. So yeah, I would totally support a subscription based MMO, and honestly, I really think Elder Scrolls has what it takes to be a successful.
So you think that Elder Scrolls Online is going to be a subscription-based MMORPG?
I would hope that it's going to be a subscription-based. I really can't say, though. If I really had to choose, if you held me at gunpoint and forced me to choose, I'd probably just go with probably Crack and or Cave, I should say. And
wait, what?
Because a lot of MMO developers out there now are going free-to-play, and, you know, it was said, a lot of people were speculating that Tor was going to be the last, you know, pay-to-play MMO, and, you know, they're going free-to-play in October or whatever, you know, this fall. So, you know, I think it might have discouraged a lot of future game developers. But then again, you know, ZeniMax has been developing Elder Scrolls for quite some time now, and they might have already had, you know, the pay-to-play option in mind, and, you know, that's kind of what they're going to stick with. So, you know, maybe they'll start out with that, and then maybe if it doesn't go the way they were hoping to, maybe they'll go the free-to-play route like Tor did. Hopefully they don't, but, you know, who knows what happens. Maybe they'll start off with how Tor's, you know, doing it. You can pay for the game and have access to all of the content, just as if you were paying for a normal pay-to-play MMO, or you can play free-to-play, but you're restricted to content unless you buy that content. So, I don't know. It could go either way.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and they've been very mum's the word on what they are going to do business model-wise. I really think that they're going to go free-to-play. I do agree with you. They have the potential to be a subscription-based MMO. And maybe that was something that they intended. The game has been in development for the past 5 years. Maybe when they did start developing the game, they thought that they were going to go that route where players pay $15 a month, get access to the content, that income, you know, helps assist, produce, and distribute the new content that's being put into the Elder Scrolls Online. However, with all this uproar that's been going on the past year or so, with Tor, with Guild Wars 2, with so many other games, and we've seen Age of Conan, have tremendous success with the free-to-play motto. Star Trek Online was more successful when they went into the free-to-play model than when they launched, and that's Star Trek Online. But there's so many of those stories out there that you hear of other MMORPGs being redeemed by the free-to-play motto. They have a chance and they become a contender again in this market when they do switch to F2P. But yeah, only time will tell. We'll have to see how it goes. Do you think ZeniMax Online should announce sooner rather than later what their business model is going to be? If they are going to be sub-based or free-to-play?
No, they can't, only because they don't have any content out for the game. You know, you can't... I mean, they could. I guess it really wouldn't affect, you know, the state of the game or anything like that. But honestly, like Tor didn't announce their payment plans until, I think, July or August, or it was very close to launch. So I don't think that we'll hear anything about their payment plan until a couple of months before the game actually launches. Just probably because they're probably going to wait and see, you know, where the market goes. They're going to do their research. You know, I mean, like I said, Tor was pay to play and then it went free to play, and they're probably going to look at it and see, hey, Tor was a huge game. It's gone free to play. You know, it's gone from 2.3 million subscribers probably down to like 150,000. Let's see how many people they get back, you know, if they go free to play. You know, they're probably just going to do their research and then make a final decision later on. So I don't think we'll hear anything for a while yet.
Indeed. Injury. You know, it's one of those things only time will tell.
Right.
Before maybe once the video content and stuff does start being unveiled, we can maybe speculate and judge whether or not this game is probably going to be F2P or sub-based. But it's interesting to speculate in. We'll have to definitely see. Moving right along, ZeniMax Online Studios stated, this is from their Game Informer article. The Game Informer had a huge, just exclusive special tour through the studios, conducted multiple video interviews, talking to the developers. One of the things that were, one of the topics that were brought up was level cap. ZeniMax Online Studios have confirmed there is going to be a level cap. What a relief, huh, Tim?
Didn't see that one coming.
They said it will take an average player approximately 120 hours of gameplay to reach that cap. I'm thinking 120 hours of gameplay, that's like possibly level 40 to 50. Would you agree? Would you disagree?
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not extreme or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's going to take you months to get to that level, but no, that's that sounds solid. I mean, if you look at, I know this is an MMO, and you typically think that, you know, an MMO should last longer than a single player game, but I mean, your average single player games, you know, games like Dragon Age Origins, they were like 60 hours long, if not, you know, 100 some hours long. I think the first time I played through it, it was like 80 hours or something like that. And then you get games, you know, like Force Unleashed, which take you 6 hours to beat. But, I mean, the point is, you know, that's a pretty solid amount of gameplay. And, again, if it's a successful MMO, you know, the 120 hours, that's just for the one class that you do, you know, and then you go back and if you want to reroll a new class or, you know, that's just to get to max level. Then you've got RVR, then you've got operations, raids, sorry, still in the tour mindset, but you got, you know, you got your raids, you've got your RVR, you've got your endgame stuff, which that's important. You know, that's what really people play MMOs for is the endgame. So 120 hours to get to the endgame and then the countless hours that you'll spend doing that. I'm fine with that. Yeah, that's cool.
Pretty normal, pretty average compared to other MMOs on the time it takes to get to max level. Probably, I'm thinking level 40 or level 50 will be the level cap once the game does release, one of those two. Just judging based on what Dark Age of Camelot was and what Warhammer Online was when they released, level-wise. So I'm pretty stoked. 120 hours of gameplay, that's solid. And the game is going to be, there's going to be a ton of voice acting in the game. So I think it's going to be a very entertaining and unique, fun experience once you are leveling up and questing. Do you think, I guess, we're really speculating here. Tim, do you think that in future expansions, though, continue to raise the level cap? They've also discussed in Game Informer that a lot of the continents aren't fully unlocked. They're not fully unveiled. The continent is there, but there's a lot of content that is sort of landlocked and unavailable to players that will be eventually unlocked for future content. Do you think that when they do that, we're going to be seeing our levels raised?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's usually what happens when you have a new expansion come out. You know, they add more zones, in this case, new territories, so to speak, to play in. You know, we'll be able to go to Black Marsh or, you know, whatever's unavailable to us at launch. We'll be able to go there and obviously get more quests. And, you know, what fun are really doing quests if you're not leveling up? You know, the quests are fun because of the lore and so on and so forth. But, I mean, there's that sense of, I guess, achievement, you could put it that way. You know, that sense of reward going through and doing these quests. You don't, because a lot of people won't do quests unless there's a reason to do them. Okay, so I think if they're going to put that content out there, they're going to have to increase the level cap. Just because a lot of people are going to sit there and think, okay, the rewards for doing these quests are mediocre, and I don't have to level up any higher because I'm already at max level and they didn't raise the level cap, so I have no motivation to go out and explore those zones. And if that's the case, then the developers are wasting their time developing that content. So
I agree. If it's just like, oh, here's more dailies,
right?
that would be
dailies are no. I mean, dailies are fun, I guess, for a couple days, and then it feels like your second or third job, and you're like, ugh, do my dailies today.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that's another thing that's really cool about Elder Scrolls Online is you'll always have that expectation and hope when you open up your map and you see the whole continent and you'll see the areas that are sort of grayed out. They're not open yet, but you'll have that thought in the back of your mind. One day I'm going to be able to go there. It's going to be future content one day. I have something to sort of look forward to. I don't know, maybe that's just me being tree hugger and stuff. But I think that's a pretty cool positive feeling that a player can get with future expectations that he or she may have when playing this game. There's other MMORPGs where there's no hint to what future content will bring. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. We'll have to see. That's really cool. I think it's solid. 120 hours of gameplay. Totally sound. Totally. That's the trend, I would say. That's typical in this MMO market. So I'm totally down for that. Let's talk about the. I worded it. How hard is the soft trinity? And I guess I worded it that way because we don't really have definitive information on the trinity in the game. We have facts like all classes will be able to use all weapons in the game, which is weird. Don't you think that's a little weird? Do you think that is sort of innovative in its own way, that perhaps a mage-esque class can use a battle axe?
I mean, it's innovative for, I guess, MMOs. It's not innovative for Elder Scrolls, though. You know, because you don't really have a class when you play Elder Scrolls. When you play Elder Scrolls, you kind of start up and you're just, I mean, you pick your race and your gender and all that fun stuff. And, you know, you pick your sign and all that, you know, extra fluff. But you really don't have a class that you're forced into playing. You know, you play like Dragon Age. It's either Rogue, Warrior, or Mage. You know, and then you can't choose anything else. Same with Mass Effect or something like that. But with Elder Scrolls, you know, one day I want to play as an archer. The next day I'm working on magic. The next day I'm joining, you know, the Fighters Guild, whatever. So to the Elder Scrolls franchise, no, absolutely not. That's something I'm glad that they're actually bringing over to the Elder Scrolls Online, because that's really what Elder Scrolls is all about, is, you know, just that free range of customization that you can really get into, because... Yeah,
and that's what it comes down to right there, that key word you just said, customization. ZeniMax Online is really pushing the customization that you can have with your character. And I think that's pretty unique and cool. Like, here's basically what's going to happen, it sounds like. It sounds like right now, each class can use, as we stated, any type of weapon in the game. But the thing that's interesting is whatever weapon they have equipped determines the first two abilities on that player's hotbar. And one of those abilities is a light attack, and the other ability is a heavy attack. And as a player, you know, uses the weapon, you know, skill level increases. Something that we've seen in the past with World of Warcraft, they currently took that out of the game, but do remember... Well, leveling up your weapon skill in that game. Basically, you're going to have the same thing in Elder Scrolls. You're increasing the effectiveness and proficiency of the level that you're using. All weapons will require practice, apparently, which is leveling up the weapon skill. And mastering a weapon can unlock additional melee attacks that can be slotted into your action bar. I think that's pretty cool. What do you think about that? About, you know, leveling up your weapon skill?
You know, I can see it being an issue for some people, just because, you know, that's what I hated about in WoW was, you know, if I was playing as a paladin or whatever, and I had this really good sword, right, and I'm at 400 out of 400 or whatever my weapon skill is, and then I go and I find a mace that's just a lot better. Okay, it gives me way better stats and I do more damage. But my mace skill is only level 1. So you're sitting there and you're not doing nearly as much damage as you would be with your sword. So you're sitting there and you're killing things like critters or level 5s just to get your stupid level, you know, up. Or whatever it is. You know, and that kind of sucked. Because you'd have to sit there and grind out for a couple hours to get your skill up. However, I guess if there's rewards to it, like, I mean, cause I don't have a problem with it for Elder Scrolls, just because, I mean, that's really what Elder Scrolls is really about. I mean, you do that in Skyrim, you know, you get your bow, and your bow effectiveness, its percentage is increased every time you put a skill point into it. You know what I'm saying? And that's sort of the same idea. Okay. Because your bow level does increase, you know, from 1 to 100. So. I mean, it's just very true to the Elder Scrolls franchise, and I'm totally fine with that. And they're giving you rewards as you level up, just like you would in, you know, Skyrim. Once you get to level 70, you can put a point into the perk that allows you to, you know, maybe zoom in or, you know, increases the rate that you fire your arrows or so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? So when you get rewards for leveling up like that, yeah, that's sweet. I'm totally cool with that. I like that.
I don't get me wrong. I think the system is unique, right? I think it's cool. But I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried that this system is going to be controversial and a problem when it comes to looting, when you're participating in raids when you're participating in parties or the groups, whatever it is, in dungeons and stuff like that, and it comes to the point where, okay, this is a battle axe. Battle axe is probably a weapon that's more prone to the warrior class, which we don't know exists yet. But I'm just going off the limb here. Don't you think that might be a problem with the whole looting thing? There might be always sort of the fear that, oh god, this mage is going to loot my shield or something like that. Once we drop this boss, do you think that's a problem?
I mean, that problem does arise if somebody just randomly decides, hey, I've spent the last year and a half as a mage, and then they see a shield that drops, and they're like, you know what? I just had an epiphany. I was born to be a warrior. And they decide to switch. I mean, again, we don't know anything about classes. Maybe you'll be set into a class, you know what I'm saying, just because it is an MMO. Maybe you will be kind of given a class that you have to play. Maybe not. We need more information on it. But, yeah, that could be a potential problem that does arise. And I'm sure ZeniMax has something implemented for that, or has something in the design process or design, stages or whatever. I'm sure they've got something in mind that will prevent that from happening, because that is a major issue.
Yeah, I really hope they do, because that it can't be game breaking, but right. that could cause a lot of animosity with pug groups and stuff like that, unorganized groups. That scares players away from doing that type of content if there's always a risk of these, other players coming along who are a class that quite obviously may not be compatible with that weapon that dropped,
Absolutely.
Another thing is each class can unlock a wide variety of skills and new abilities, and players may choose up to three to have active at a time. So it's like, I don't want to say it's ratio abilities, but it's basically that. It's, you can have three unique abilities and you can swap them in and out based on...
Yeah, they said it was like the stones in Skyrim, or similar to the stones in Skyrim. How you have those stones that you can go to activate, yeah.
For sure. And that's really cool. That's really cool. And do you think maybe that, going back to what we were just talking about, that might, maybe you do just create a character and perhaps there's no class?
I mean,
it's just all hybrid?
Well, I mean, you could... Okay, well, this could be a potential idea. They could do it. There's no set classes, but let's say, you go in, you activate your warrior stone. Okay, how you have the thief, the warrior, and the apprentice stone in the beginning of the Skyrim?
Yeah.
Or in the beginning of Skyrim. Let's say you activate your warrior stone. Okay. You're quote-unquote classified as a warrior now. Okay. When you go and you do raids or, instances or whatever, you can only pick up items that are specifically for the warrior. Okay. So you can't roll on, say, a mage staff. But if you go and you switch your stone to, say, an apprentice stone, and you are now classified as a mage, you can now go and, when you do operations, when you go and do raids or, instances, you can then roll on mage equipment. So that way you don't have to worry about, some guy who is playing as a mage at this time being like, oh yeah, that's a battle axe, I want that, and then kind of snagging it from you. So maybe they will be able to kind of put in, I guess maybe they'll be able to define your class better or prevent that loot issue that we were just talking about with the stones.
So they'll regulate it a little bit with that type of content. There still will have to be weapons available for people like the mages and stuff if they want to get a battle axe. Maybe they do go to the auction house, or they get it as a quest item or something.
Right. I mean, and they should be able to. I mean, I want to see. What I really want to see from Elder Scrolls is the ability to kind of combine classes. Okay. Because what was cool in Skyrim is that you could seriously just, you could come up with so many different types of classes. You know, you could come up with hybrid stuff. You could essentially be a paladin. Okay. You could be a guy running around with restoration spells, healing yourself, and slashing some guy in the face with a sword. Or you could be a battle mage. You could be running around shooting lightning or fire at somebody with an axe and heavy armor. Or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to see that type of customization in The Elder Scrolls Online. I want to see the people having the ability to wield fire in one hand, battle axe in the other hand, and, you know, they're not perfect, you know, they're not, obviously they're not going to be the best melee, and they're obviously not going to be the best, you know, mage, but they're a nice hybrid of, you know, both, so they can be a pretty solid support class, you know what I'm saying? I would totally love to see that, because that would be kind of, you know, I think it'd be fun to play.
I question saying this, but it would be like Rift.
Rift, so I'll just say sure.
well, Rift. I mean, it's not executed. It probably won't be executed the same way Rift was. But basically, you create a character in Rift, and you choose up to so many classes, and you have these hybrids. Problem with that is though, is it's a pain in the ass to balance for the development company, because every month, not even every month, but, you know, someone will put the stats together on an Excel spreadsheet. They'll put it, all the classes, all the combinations of classes you can do, all your hybrid specs, whatever, and they'll put it together on a spreadsheet, and it will come down to three different ways or four different ways. These are the best, most OP ways to get the most damage output, whatever it may be, the most healing, and that's what players will stick to. Do you think it's good to have that, or do you think that sort of takes away the purpose of customization because it ultimately comes down to, well, an Excel worksheet?
I mean, can you change your class in Rift once you create your character, or
yes,
you create a new character? Oh, so you can be a warrior, mage, healer dude, and then just one day wake up and be like, I'm going to switch at end game to whatever.
I mean, I know you could.
You don't have to reroll.
I think you might need to reroll after a certain point.
Oh, okay.
But
because I
remember respecking a lot in that game, and it wasn't like your talent tree. Like, you could legit
respect your class.
Respect your class, but I think that they might have taken that away. I might be mistaken. But even if you can reroll, it's still the most powerful. You'll still have those top four powerful classes.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it might not be too big of an issue in Elder Scrolls, because if every class is able to go and reselect what they want to be, I mean, everybody's just going to end up being that most powerful class then anyways. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people aren't going to be like, ooh, so OP, I have to reroll. I mean, people will just be like, oh, okay, fine, then I'll just go respec, and then eventually everybody's going to just be rolling that class, and I mean, that prevents problems in and of itself, but, I mean, I don't think you'll get too many people complaining about, I mean, you still will get people complaining. You probably still get boatloads of people complaining, but I don't think it'll be on the scale of what you typically see, you know, like in Tor, where somebody's like, oh, a Marauder does so much more damage than, say, you know, my Bounty Hunter, this is dumb, blah, 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 yeah, blah, blah. You know, so, but, yeah, I mean, that could be an issue, too. You know, we just have to wait and see what we have in store.
Yeah, I just want to sort of throw in there to all of our listeners, not only in this episode, but most likely the next several episodes, a lot of our discussion is going to be speculation, because we know so little about this game. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating it's an objective truth. We right. don't really have a lot of information about this game. We don't know what the classes are, which is like some of the biggest basic foundations for an MMORPG. We don't even know if they are going to have a typical, or, you know, classical class system that we see in other games. You create your character and you choose your class. You know, it sort of sounds like maybe this is potentially, it might be like Skyrim, where you create your character and, you know, you're just this guy, and then you come across the, what's it called, Soulstone?
I forget what they're called.
I
apologize.
Like,
you guys know what we're talking about, though.
the stone that you walk up to, and there's warrior, thief, and
apprentice,
yeah,
or serpent, or lady, or whatever, or stallion, or whatever.
Yeah, we really don't know what it's going to be like. So there is going to be a lot of speculation. So that's just a quick sort of precautionary warning I wanted to give you guys, is what we're talking about right now does not reflect the true information about what may lie in the class system in that game. This is sort of interesting. There will be a hotbar slot, a final hotbar slot, which will be filled with an ultimate ability, which is usable after a player accumulates enough finesse. Finesse is the resource mechanic that pretty much is the how effective you are in combat. So if you guys play League of Legends, you have an alt ability. Now, mind you, in League of Legends, the alt ability is on cooldown, where in this one, it sounds like your ultimate ability is built up on how effective you're being in combat. Tim, what do you think about that? That's sort of cool. And I think this goes back to, you know, the combat in this game is going to be very innovative. And this is another thing that contributes to, you know, how this Trinity can work. It's very unique.
Yeah. No, I seriously, that sounds sweet. And I think they were saying something about the ultimate abilities looking pretty, like, awesome. How they're going to be, like, impressive, you know, like, really, really cool to watch animation-wise and so on and so forth with what's happening on the screen. Sorry about that. But, yeah, no, I think that's going to be sweet. You know, I look forward to crushing skulls with fire or something. I don't know. But can you really crush skulls with fire? Probably not. You probably burn skulls with fire, but you probably can't really crush them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Well, definitely cool. It encourages a player to be mindful with what they're doing, which is really cool. It keeps you motivated to be lucid with what actions you're committing. If you're interrupting an enemy spell cast or blocking a dangerous attack, that builds your finesse quite more than if you're just attacking something, which right. I think is cool. And it says something that is unique about this high finesse also yields additional rewards, ranging from small experience boost to additional magical loot, which gives you even more incentive to pay attention to your finesse bar. And that's going to be, I think that's huge. That's going to be really unique and innovative for this combat experience. You got this finesse thing going on. So not only is your goal always to have your finesse up as high as it can be so you can use your alt ability, which is probably going to be one of your most powerful attacks, but you also reap more benefits from having your finesse up.
Absolutely.
Another thing is, when you first slot a new ability onto your hotbar, you only possess a novice level of that skill using it. As you gain expertise in your abilities, you can improve and enhance these abilities in various ways. Very cool. Very cool. And this is really, it's basically Elder Scrolls Online to me, from what we're learning from how sort of this class, these classes work and stuff. It sounds really deep. It sounds really deep. You got to pay attention to so many things. You're going to have to pay attention to finesse. You're going to have to pay attention to your weapon skill, not only leveling up your weapon, but you're going to have to level up the abilities that go along with that weapon and that go along with just your basic class abilities.
Right.
Do you think that's going to be too much of an issue? Do you think, you know, once we get into beta, not we as in you and I, but, you know, the public community gets into beta, there might be, and I don't mean to pick on casual gamers here, but they might be a little dissatisfied. This may sort of turn away casual gamers from coming to Elder Scrolls Online because the gameplay is so deep.
I really hope not, because, you know, It's that kind of thing that kind of, I don't know. That's the thing that I don't really like about betas. I mean, like, obviously betas are necessary and whatnot, but you get these deep, deep things that developers really want to go with, right? And it works great in the studio and, you know, internal testing because developers know how to do all that. You know, they designed it. They know how to play it. Then you get it out into the real world and you get people that are like, oh, this is too complicated. All I want to do is just spam, you know, 1 and 2 and auto attack. And it's like, ugh, no, because that's boring. You know, we already have that kind of stuff. So seriously, I really hope that, you know, Elder Scrolls beta doesn't turn into just people trying to find ways to make, you know, the game easier to play. You know, there were some cool ideas that were in the tour beta that ended up getting cut because some of the players that were playing, actually a lot of the players that were playing the beta were just like, oh, this is dumb, blah, 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 blah. BioWare was just like, all right, fine. And they yank it. And it's just like, you know, that kind of thing sucks. So, I mean, I don't hate betas. Betas are totally necessary and they're fun. And, you know, I'm glad that they have them, obviously, for polish and whatnot. But I just hope that the combat stays deep in the Elder Scrolls because from what it sounds, it's going to be pretty deep. It's going to be pretty awesome. And I look forward to playing it.
And perhaps what I'm about to, this is something else that the developers added. Maybe this is sort of, I don't know, correct me, say something if you disagree, but maybe this is sort of a safety plan for players who do get in a position where they're regretful for the class they did choose or the weapon they did choose or the abilities that they did choose and how to play their role. But this is basically combat, class, and alt abilities may be changed whenever you want, provided you aren't in combat. The Elder Scrolls Online uses a smaller number of active combat abilities than other games, you know, which I think is a good thing. I hate when you have action bars just full of abilities, and you don't even use half of them. But because they're adding so much depth to the abilities and stuff themselves, I think you still will have that sort of variety of abilities too.
Right, I think that what they said, they said you can focus, I think it was them, you can focus more on what's happening on the screen as opposed to you looking at your UI the entire time. Because that's what sucks. You watch, you know, like in Tor, you know, we're doing an operation, which is essentially a raid. No, it is a raid. You know, you're sitting there and you're watching your UI more than you are watching what's going on. And it sucks because, you know, as a healer or something like that, you have to be watching everything else going on and you miss some of the cool things that happen. You know, there was supposed to be choreographed combat in Tor. Great. I can't really watch and check out that choreographed combat because I'm worried about what my next ability is going to be. And you get people that say, oh, well, you know, mod it to your mouse or mod it to, I mean, keybind. Okay. Most people aren't going to do that though. Okay. A majority of the gamers out there are just going to be hitting buttons 1 through, you know, plus. Okay. They're just going to be hitting the top buttons up there. They're not going to be keybinding, you know, Z, X, C, R, T, Q, tab, shift, and stuff like that for, you know, abilities. They're really going to be, you know, just spamming buttons. So, yeah, I think having less abilities, not necessarily less abilities is better, but take out, like you said, some abilities that you just, that are unnecessary, that you don't use. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you know, you get four hot bars and you use, you know, really only 2. And I guess you can say that's the player's fault, but I mean, whatever.
When the whole thing of using a weapon and that weapon giving you specific unique abilities also shakes it up a little bit where it's not, you know, everyone has the same per se. Everyone playing your class has the same exact abilities as you do, unless they spec differently in a different tree. But based on what weapon you're using, you have that aspect of customization to set yourself apart even more differently.
Right.
But I think we did answer our question before about our uncertainty of how classes are going to work. Apparently, if you can, you know, change your class whenever you want, provided you aren't in combat, maybe that does, that's basically like Skyrim, right? You always have that availability to change what you're doing. Mind you, it may take a lot of work to backtrack and get that skill up with that class, but that's pretty unique. Do you think that's what it's saying, or am I interpreting the whole class thing? Maybe they're not, you know, talking about classes as in like the role you play, but sort of your role in the Trinity itself.
And I don't know. We can speculate all day on it, and we might not get anywhere. So, I mean, we really can't get too much deeper into it without knowing where we're going with the classes and what ZeniMax has planned for the classes. But I really do hope it's more like Elder Scrolls and, like Skyrim and stuff. Just because, you know, there's that level of customization, you know, with your classes and skills and so on and so forth, and with them adding, you know, weapon skills and stuff that you just talked about, that shakes it up a bit, just like you said, and provides a unique, fun, entertaining, enjoyable combat experience, which, when the game's based around, well, not necessarily based around, but when a major part of your end game is RVR, the combat has to be fluid and has to be fun. So, here's hoping to fun and solid combat within The Elder Scrolls Online.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Moving right along, we're going to switch topics a little bit here. I'm sure we're going to be talking about classes and, you know, how the abilities and stuff work and weapon use and weapon skills and all that in the future once we do get more gameplay going. So stay tuned to Troll Scroll, of course. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about PvE and the player's leveling experience. This sounds awesome. There is going to be a hubless quest design. Now, we all know what a hubbed quest design is. It's basically every other MMORPG on the market. You go to a leveling area, you go to an area that's your level, and there's a ton of quests there. You go up to NPCs with question marks over their head, or not question
collect
marks,
collect them all.
Exclamation points, pardon me, over their head. Get the quest, read the text, and get on with it. And once you get to a level that exceeds the MP, like the enemy level in that area, you move on to the next hub. Totally lame. Totally owed. It's definitely lame for me. I guess I should speak for myself. But this definitely sounds more innovative and, dare I say, more smooth and fluid. It sounds more organic. You're actually part of the world, your character, and you're just constantly evolving, and these events are sort of unraveling before you. The reason they're doing this hubless quest design is it encourages a sense of freeform. Where else do we get freeform? You know?
Right.
Oblivion. Skyrim. And right. That's unique to those games. Exploration and, you know, your freeform progression is iconic to this franchise. And they said that the game uses focal points of interest, which are self-contained adventure modules that players may encounter during their travels. So probably when you're, let's say, you and I are together, Tim, we're in a group, and we're walking through sort of a forest or something, and we get to a certain point on the path where maybe something in the game triggers and an event just blows up right next to us. You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's potentially our quest. That's what it sort of sounds like.
Right.
Which is really cool, I think. Now, I'm talking about this hubless quest design. I talked about how, you know, we're not going to be encountering the NPCs with exclamation marks over their heads. I don't think that's true. I think we still may see some of that because they did talk about, you know, voiceover and stuff. And even in Skyrim and Oblivion, you go up to people and they sort of initiate it to you. You don't see a question mark over their head, but you'll walk by them and then they'll mumble something under their breath, inferring you to go talk to them, and you go talk to them, and then they sort of give you the quest, so to speak. But it's an organic way. It's very immersive. It's a lot better than reading a wall of text and right-clicking on the NPC because he has an exclamation point over his head. The main storyline of the game is balanced to be completely soloable, although the game is tailored to provide a social community experience. Tim, what do you think about that, man? You going to play Elder Scrolls Online from a solo point of view?
I mean, I like solo leveling up only because I can play the game when my friends aren't, you know, around. And the thing is, I like playing MMOs because, you know, you get to play with your friends, right? But I also want to be able to still play that MMO when my friends aren't available. So, you know, I don't want to be forced into grouping up with somebody or something just to play the game. Yes, it's a massively multiplayer online role-playing game. Yes, if I'm playing an MMO, I should expect to be playing with other players. I understand that. That's a dead given. But I still want to be able to play the game and enjoy it if I can by myself. You know, I want to have that option. So leveling up by myself, I don't have a problem with that. No, I don't see how that would be an issue. But, you know, obviously, because, you know, once you get to endgame, you usually do all the group stuff at endgame anyways. You know, RVR, raids, you know, hard mode instances, so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's 120 hours by myself. Not saying I'm going to be there the entire time by myself. I'll probably be playing with most of my friends. But, you know, having that option, definitely good.
And I think it's sort of nice to do things on your own. I'm not encouraging players to be isolationist. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of fun group content, and especially there's going to be awesome group content. You play Skyrim, you play Oblivion, and I'm sure you have the occasional thought, oh man, how awesome would this be if I could run through the world with my friend and do some of this stuff? That would be legit. But there are some things where, you know, you do make decisions that not only impact your character, but the world around you. And that stuff you want is sort of reserved to only yourself.
Right.
Let's talk about decisions. This is really, really unique and interesting. Many quests are simple adventures, the basic stuff. However, there are also quest sagas which happen in specific zones that tell grand tales and reveal segments of the whole overarching plot line within the game, which is really cool. It basically sounds like a world arc from Star Wars The Old Republic. You go to a planet and you can do the world arc, both solo or with other players and friends. But it was really cool. It was an immersive experience that sort of brought a very big sense of epicness to the game you were playing. Along with that, there are certain quest choices you can make, which mold your character as a result to your decisions. The outcome of certain quests will cause a very large impact on areas of the world. Now, Tim, when we say large impact, do you think, I guess, how should I word this? Do you think this impact will be something that's phased that only your character will see or your party members? Or do you think that this impact will legitimately affect the legitimate open world?
Definitely phased.
Phased? Okay.
Definitely phased.
What do you think about phasing? You a fan of phased?
I mean, for certain, some stuff has to be phased. You know, you gotta obviously phase instances and so on and so forth for, like, you know, dungeons and whatnot. But, you know, certain quests being phased, if there's a quest that, you know, you can either destroy a town or save a town, and if you destroy it, I would like to go back and see it destroyed. Though I would want it to be, you know, I'd want it to be fluid, though. So you really can't tell that I'm going into a phase, I guess. And when I say that, I mean, like, no loading screen. So Tor did it great, you know. There's a green door. Yeah, seeing green and red doors all over the place, people hated that.
Yeah, that pissed me off.
But at the same time, you know, you can't have an area that's just phased, but it doesn't give you a warning that it's a phase. So all of a sudden, the person just randomly disappears. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, sweet, a town. And you're walking with your buddy, and then, you know, he just disappears. And you're like, where'd you go? Well, I don't know. I'm in a town. Oh, okay. Well, there's no town here for me. It's just a bunch of hills because I burned the town down.
I'm okay. I'm okay with the phasing if they don't color coordinate the phasing. In World of Warcraft, and I hate to bring up other MMOs on this show, so I apologize. In World of Warcraft, the area resets once you leave it. You know what I'm saying? Like, the area resets after so much time.
Mm-hmm.
So almost everyone can potentially see what phase you're going into, and they can see what's going on around you, but it resets after a time. It's almost like a public quest in Warhammer Online. You do the public questing, players can jump right into the middle of the public questing once it's underway, but it will eventually have a timer, and it will reset, and you can do the thing over again. I would prefer to see it that way, rather than the red doors everywhere and you can't enter this room and stuff. I would still like to enter and explore that stuff, even though I might have completed it or whatever it may be. But I support phasing. I think phasing's huge innovation to the MMO industry that has started, and it's a pretty big deal. Apparently, speechcraft exists in the game. You can use short circuit or sidestep quotes to sort of change and dodge obstacles that may be in front of you. If you want to alternate doing this quest objective or just not do that quest objective at all, you know, your response based on the quest giver or whatever's underway within the quest can have an impact on the direction your quest goes. That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. And I think this game is, I don't want to say that this game is story focused. I think the significant point that makes the significant selling point, I should say, for Elder Scrolls Online is going to be the RVR. That just seems what it's been like, you know, that they talk about this game, and whenever they do talk about the game, they always sneak in there. Oh, this is, by the way, being developed by the old Dayok development team, members of the old Dayok development team. And it's just like, okay, this is going to have awesome RVR probably in this MMORPG. But they got this whole story aspect on the side that's going for them. This game, people are upset that, you know, they're making this MMORPG from the Elder Scrolls franchise and IP, and people are upset that they're not seeing another single-player console game. But they're going to get something similar with the Elder Scrolls Online. What else do we have here? I guess we're going to wrap it up pretty soon. But there's public and instance dungeons. What do you think about that, Tim? Public dungeons are not separated from the regular world via instancing and allow for organic cooperation, grouping, and even competition between players.
Sounds like any other MMO to me.
The public dungeons?
I think, yeah, because think about it. It's not really specific. So unless they're talking about public questing, then that's cool. Okay, cool. But if they're just talking about dungeons as in a cave that you have to go and retrieve a lost object at the end of, I mean, there was plenty of those stuff in Tor. And then, you know, like, for instance, is there anybody that played Tor, that Zerga base in Tatooine, or on Tatooine, the phases for that dungeon, quote-unquote, were at the end of it, but there was a whole public questing area that you had to run through that, I guess, allowed for competition, because you had to collect things along the way, like artifacts, and you had to kill, you know, a certain amount of crazed Zerga workers or whatever. You know, so, I mean, there's your competition right there. That's your public dungeon. And then you get to the end, and that's where the phase is at, and you go in and do your little story, and then you come back out of the phase. You know? And so, I mean, unless they're talking about public questing.
See, I think they're legitimately going to have the I think they're going to have it where it is a dungeon. Like, it's just out in the world. The boss, anyone can get to the boss and stuff. You can be attacking the, you know, dungeon boss with your group of friends, but an enemy faction can come in and totally roll you guys while you're occupied with that boss. That's what I think they're talking about.
Yeah, if that's what they're talking about, then that's legit. Okay, that's legit. It didn't sound very specific to me. So, I mean, I know in that interview that Game Informer had, they talked about,
Yeah, it was Game Informer.
Yeah, Game Informer. The interview that they had, it was, you know, basically, they talked about, you know, being able to go into a dungeon and they talked about being on a quest and then much like playing Oblivion or Skyrim or whatever, you're going along and you realize, oh, hey, there's a cave over here. I'm going to go explore that right quick before I go and finish, you know, my quest. And so you kind of get sidetracked and then you go into the cave and you find at the bottom of the cave, there's a treasure chest or a monster or something that you can kill and it drops, you know, some cool loot or whatever. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they're talking about. That's legit. Okay. Just random caves that you go into, just like Skyrim and Oblivion and stuff. Totally for that. That's awesome.
This is really interesting. I don't really want to jump into that type of PvE content, the dungeons and stuff like that, in this episode of Troll Scroll. We'll have to save speculation on that for later. But to close, to make concluding statements, ZeniMax Online has announced they are hiring. I don't know if this is ZeniMax Online specifically. I think it is. But they have a ton of career opportunities that just opened up this past week. They tweeted about it, and it was posted on Facebook and stuff. And if you go to their website, ZeniMax Careers, just Google ZeniMax Careers, it brings you up to a ton of stuff. Web developers are looking for technical producers, software engineers, software engineers and stuff like that. So if anyone out there wants to put their talent to the test, if you think that you are Dragonborn and can take on ZeniMax Online in a career or ZeniMax wherever in
a career. That was clever. I'll give you that.
Go for it.
That
was clever. That was terrible, actually.
It was terrible, but I mean, I see how you tried to tie it in.
Thanks for the build me up, though, bro. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Sure, the audience appreciates it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're all facepalming right now. But yeah, check that out. That's freaking many opportunities here for anyone out there that wants to sort of put their foot into the industry and jump in on that. Tim, thanks for coming out to the show tonight, man. Episode one of Trolls.
Yay. Yeah.
It's a day of infamy for us.
Day of infamy, yeah.
Big deal.
Let's go with infamy.
So I hope people are more sort of satisfied. We had more of a structure this time around, in contrast to episode zero that we recorded last week. But this is pretty much laid back format. We put a topic down. And we like to discuss it, speculate on it, debate it sometimes, and see how it goes.
Yep.
We just are sort of laid back like that, and like a chill cast, so to speak. But, Tim, thanks for coming out tonight, buddy. Appreciate it. I hope everything up there in the Mish is good. How's the weather, man?
Cold.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
But have a good night, man. Thanks for coming on the show. Everyone who is listening, if you want more Troll Scroll, go to www.trollscroll.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We don't have the @TrollScroll. Twitter name, unfortunately, but we still do have a Twitter account. It's @RealTrollScroll. We're the real deal, guys and gals. We think so. @RealTrollScroll. We have a Facebook page. We would love it if you would like it. And that's all I have to, add, man. Keep an eye on the website for editorials and all other updates revolving around this game. It's a little sparse right now, but we're trying to whip out as many editorials as we can. Tim's doing a great job with doing a column specifically focused on speculation with RVR mechanics. Tim, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, just every couple of days coming out with a new article that's based around just different aspects of RVR. So last week we touched base a little bit on keeps and major objective points. This last one was about NPCs, and I believe the next one is about siege weapons. And then we've got one about rewards, and then the final one I think is going to be about player stability and just players in general in RVR. So take the key aspects of RVR and kind of divide them up and discuss it a little bit. So
awesome. Yeah. Sauce. Good mm-hmm. deal. So guys and gals, once again, thanks for tuning in. We'll be around next week, and I think next week we'll dive more into, we'll sort of continue where we left off from here, talk about public dungeons and regular instance dungeons, and more PvE related content, and perhaps lore. I think we'll jump into lore a little bit next week and talk about that as well. So guys and gals, take care, be good, and have a safe and pleasant weekend.
See you, everyone.
Hey guys and gals, what's going on? This is Tom, and I just want to give a quick shout out to the brilliant composer and musician who did the song that you heard in our intro and outro of today's episode. This song is titled The Elder Scrolls Dubstep Reorchestration. This is composed by Stephen Walking, and this guy's so cool. You can go to his website, soundcloud.com/Stephen Walking. And it's Stephen spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N, and then walking just as if you are walking through a forest. Just spell it that way. If you're feeling generous, please subscribe. Guys, I'll see you next week.